Welcome back to episode 21. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Curtis.
And this is Partners in Crime. How's it feel to be recording for like the sixth week in a row?
I'm tired.
Why?
Well, we had a podcast yesterday, too, that we co-hosted on. And, you know, I've been waking up at 5 every day. So.
Is that, like, early for you?
You know, it should be like I'm used to it at this point. But, yeah, it still feels super early every time I get up.
I wake up at 4:30 every day, and I iron Curtis's clothes, and I get the kids homemade biscuits and gravy for breakfast, and I see him off to school. And
I can't even give you biscuits and gravy before school.
I can't with you. Anyways, so.
Oh, man.
Did you have a good week?
Yeah, it was all right.
You want to tell the listeners anything exciting and enticing about your week?
Well, today is Thursday, and I'm still alive.
YOLO.
Thank God for that one. Really cool. I guess I could throw out there, but I'm a, like, I have a garbage company, and so instead of having like a 5-day work week, we only have a 4-day work week, so I get a 3-day weekend.
Every weekend.
Yeah, Ashley's totally jealous, but
I work 7 days a week. Just call me the breadwinner.
Gotta shout out the plug, Tactical Trash Out.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, I really don't work that much.
Yeah, because you call in so many times.
I almost called in this morning. I had it pulled up on my phone. I was like, I could literally just take the kids to school. I could come home and just sleep for the whole day. And I did not. I went to work, and I was tired the whole time.
I actually thought it was crazy that you said you were going to call in and then you actually just didn't do it.
I told you I was this morning. You're like, yeah, you should if you feel like you need to. And I was like, okay, I do.
Shout out to Missy. What up, Missy?
Missy don't listen to us.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Yeah, she might. Marty does.
I know.
Anyways.
I don't know where that correlation came from, but okay, go ahead.
What?
What?
Anyways. My iPad is dead, and this is going to be a brand new experience, reading things off my phone. What do you do? Oh, my gosh. Anyways.
This is why we need a camera to put it on YouTube, because anybody would have been like, what's he doing?
Okay. So, let's get down to, oh, I had a good week.
Wow. What a jerk of me to not ask.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you want to tell our listeners anything that happened to you throughout the week?
Matter of fact, I don't.
Oh.
Okay.
That's great.
My sister got married 4 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
You gotta
be
kidding
me. She actually did get married 4 weeks ago, but like.
They know.
We know.
Unless this is her first episode, they know.
Anyways.
And on this episode of the podcast, my sister got married 59 weeks ago.
On episode 213, yeah, about 217 weeks ago or so, my sister got married. And they're still married. And, you know, how many weeks is 214? Like, how many years is 214 weeks?
Well, there's 52 weeks in a year, so multiply that by 4.
So, like, 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be married still.
Wow. You sounded so confident.
I'm sure they will be. They've
they
been
did,
together
for
longer
like
than
4
that.
Years.
Yeah. Anyways, so congratulations on your wedding, Sierra. Because I know you're
Congrats,
listening.
Sierra.
So let's get down to the case. I'm setting it up differently this time.
If you want to fast forward at 31 minutes and 32 seconds, we'll be at the conspiracy corner.
Anyways, I'm setting up the podcast differently. This time, like my layout.
I can tell.
Why?
Because for once, you're actually smiling.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Anyways, so an urgent 911 call comes in on February. What?
you were starting to explain like why you set it up differently, and then you're like, all right, well, we're just gonna drop into the story here. We're just
gonna go into it. An urgent 911 call comes in on February 13th, 2018, and it's a woman frantically describing that her husband has had a stroke while on their boat, and the 911 operator asks if he was awake or not. The woman reveals that he had fallen into the water and that she has been searching for him for hours. 68-year-old Larry Eisenberg and the woman on the call, 66-year-old Lori Eisenberg, went out on the boat the morning of the 13th on Lake... Ooh, I definitely looked up the pronunciation of this and I forgot it. Coeur d'Alene. That's how you say it. Coeur d'Alene. That's the lake. Lake Coeur d'Alene. The Eisenbergs.
Is it like
Coeur d'Alene? Yeah, it might be.
Oh, because Coeur d'Alene just reminds me of like a cheese curd or like Coeur, curdled milk.
Like Coeur.
Oh, it's just the way you're saying it, I guess.
Coeur, yeah, anyways. The Eisenbergs.
Like a Coors Light?
Yeah, that's what I told myself in my head when I was pronouncing it. The Eisenbergs lived a very well-known, what?
Shout out to the sponsor, Coors Light.
Yeah, I wish they were our sponsor.
For real?
The Eisenbergs were very well-known within their community in Cougar Gulch of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. The couple had children blended into their family from previous relationships. Oh my gosh, do you see this right now?
What?
A fly just flew into my face. Like,
don't edit that out. Leave it in.
What is happening?
Everybody needs to know about this fly. Fly guy for the chat guy.
I don't even know where it went. Maybe it was a spider because it was kind of like. Anyways.
Oh, it was these nuts.
Anyways.
Got her.
I'm sorry. I don't even remember where I was at. Okay, so they were a blended family. They had adult children from previous relationships, but the couple was talked very highly about and that they rarely argued and were often heard complimenting each other. Larry sent his daughter a photo of the sunrise the morning of the 13th and messaged a friend telling him how he was on the boat but not feeling well enough to fish. Like, is it cold in February in Idaho?
Yes. Yeah, it would be, because it's, like, further north.
And they're on a boat in a lake.
Well, I mean, yeah, people go out on the lake here.
I just didn't know if that was, like, something to know. Yeah,
people go ice fishing.
They were on a boat, though. They weren't ice fishing.
Well, just because it's cold doesn't mean there's ice.
Okay. Anyways. So, sorry, I lost my place. So Lori tells the operator that he was driving the boat. He stood up really fast, claiming that something was wrong with the motor. And he went to go examine the motor, and he just fell over. Okay? This is according to Lori. As she recalls this event to the 911 operator, they send police and rescue boat out to Lori, where they ask her again what happened. Whereabout they were when... I, like, wrote this so wrong.
Wow. Yeah, it's because of that new process that you're doing.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought I was, like, doing something. I kind of want to just, like, restart.
No.
I feel like we messed this whole thing
Nobody
up.
Nobody even cares about this. I look forward to the conspiracy theory. All
right. Anyways.
And that's a good one.
So, I'm sorry that I just don't know how to read or write. So, they asked her where about they were at when he fell in. And also, they asked her why she had a bloody nose. She stated to police that she fell and then began telling them what happened, just as she told the 911 operator. Sounding like a tragic accident, we know that this was not a tragic accident because I am reading it on the podcast. And that something worse had happened to Larry. Lori said it took her so long to call for help because she couldn't find the cell phone. Lori stated that she tried to honk the horn of the boat, and it wasn't until she grabbed a blanket to stay warm that the cell phone fell from underneath it, and she was able to call for help. Unfortunately, what? Right. Isn't that, well, because when he fell in, she thought that his cell phone was in his pocket, and she left her phone in the truck, which I'll get to later.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. So.
It always is.
It really is. So. She calls for help, and after she makes that 911 call, Lori unfortunately drops the cell phone into the water.
What?
Right.
What?
This is like a super twisty case too. So like, anyways, I was like, I don't even know how I stumbled on this one, but I did. So, oddly enough, the first responders on the scene said that Lori's emotional and physical reaction seemed genuine. They said somebody who was very desperately seeking help for a tragic accident. Police left Lori with medics when they went and spoke to each other. The main deputy or like the sheriff or whatever told the deputy that this does seem like a genuine accident, but they do still need to investigate and rule out any sign of foul play.
Uh-oh.
Like, that's just their job.
Right.
Okay. Which is this truly good police work. Police figured that finding Larry would be near impossible immediately due to him likely being dead already and what he had been wearing that day. Dark clothing is significantly harder to see in the water. Also, just to like plug, put your kids in bright colored bathing suits because it's easier to spot them if they go underwater.
That's true. Also, one thing that you came up with that I think is important is don't have your kids' names on their shirt because then strangers can call them by name and they'll see it as like a familiarization and think that they know them.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Okay, sorry. The police team noted that there was blood spatter on the boat and initially just chalked it up to be from Lori's nosebleed that they discovered when they reached her. They discover the first strange flaw in Lori's story when they discover that the boat's ignition key was bent. Right. They found several other keys in Lori's purse along with a naked smoothie drink. Do you know the drinks, naked?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that bottle was empty in her purse. Like, just hold on to that for later.
How interesting, because I wouldn't think twice about that.
I actually didn't even put it in my notes until the end of the story, and I was like, wait a second.
Wow.
I had to go back and, like, add it. So, after searching the boat, they hauled it away for storage, and it was now being held as evidence until the investigation was finished. The truck that they drove that morning was held as well and searched as part of a standard investigation procedure, which, again, great police work. Only thing that they found weird about the truck was an unknown liquid spilled in the cup holder. Her phone was placed in a really odd location, and there was also a box of allergy medicine opened in the truck, which on its own is not suspicious. Stop taking my picture. But hold on to that little
Instagram.
Hold on to that little finding for later. We'll circle back to it. Unable to really narrow down their last location, they called off the divers and decided to search by sonar technology and aerial support. The search was more of a recovery search than a rescue search. Oh my gosh, I forgot to shut my sound off.
Wasn't it last week?
I know, it was you last week.
Yeah, and you literally sat there, I tell Curtis every single time that I'm right and he's wrong because he's a man and I'm a woman and men can't be right. But okay. If I did it, it's his fault because he didn't remind me.
I forgot to shut it off. Anyways, so
I just had to throw that in there because of all the people that asked if we were actually okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
When we came back.
Yeah, we're fine. I'm going to start back. The search was more of a recovery search than a rescue search at this point, because there was really no sign of life. It was pretty likely by this point that Larry had already passed away. An officer met with Lori, at the hospital. After she was treated for the nosebleed, the body cam on the footage or on the police officer's chest showed her smiling as they talked, which like just watching, like,
cause
I watched the footage and like, it's just bothering me that she was like such like calm and relaxed about it. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like she's like a sociopath.
We'll get into it. So her body language was relaxed and calm until the officer mentions Larry by name. Then she gets squirmy, like rubbing her hands together, like,
oh,
yeah, doing just like a lot of weird things. That alone does not make her suspicious, just something that I took note of.
That's suspicious.
So
that's sus.
Retelling the story of what happened to Larry again, she said he stood up and leaned onto the key. talking about, there's the resort, there's the resort. And she didn't understand what he was saying. She then tried to explain about how she had searched for him in the water, but then she began mixing up details. And like Judge Judy says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember the lies.
Shout out to our plug, Judge Judy.
I do love Judge Judy. So, also, like my mom says, like, if you can't remember what you're going to say, it was probably a lie. So, she wiped away the tears as she talked to the officer. She rubs her hands together and appears to be under a lot of stress. The officer explains that they were still using sonar to locate Larry in the water, and then they would be able to dive in and recover him. They let her know that it was being treated as a criminal investigation until they cleared it otherwise. So, like, they won't return her vehicle, her phone, the boat, nothing. So, during the search, she would be laughing, and then she would burst into tears, and then as sudden as she started crying, she would stop and resume talking again. Like, okay, so, like, grief in general can be like that, though.
Yeah, but I would think that, like, she's trying to cover it up.
Yeah. Again, this doesn't make her suspicious on its own. Everyone grieves differently.
See, this is why I don't get true crime.
What does make her suspicious was that her neighbor at their nearby cabin claimed that Lori was repeatedly moving and listing multiple things from the house up for sale. Like, immediately. They haven't even found him yet.
And that's not suspicious?
No, that was suspicious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now we're onto something.
That's suspicious. And they also say that they heard very strange noises coming from the cabin at night, which actually never, like, amounted to anything. It was just something that I found interesting.
That seems really strange. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody thought it was weird the other nights?
They had never heard any noises that before Larry went missing. On February 21st, just, like, 8 days later, the case took a turn in a new direction. Lori was let go from her job for allegedly embezzling $500,000 from the company.
What?
$500,000, okay?
Which now came, we're even more suspicious.
I know, we're in deep now. So, which came as a huge shock to most everyone that knew her, as she had no criminal background. She was a very nice woman, like, never rude to anybody, like, nobody could say anything bad about her.
Right.
Just, like, random, right? So, she gets fired. That's a lot of money. And then at that point, Larry's kids come forward with their concerns.
Whoa.
Because of her strange behavior at this point. They've known her for a long time, and now they're like, yeah, this, something's not right. They've known her for, like, years and years and years. And they're saying, like, now something is, like, snapped inside of her. So, like, one of the reasons they were super confused was, why would they want to take a boat out in the winter with ice all over the water when Lori constantly complains about hating the cold?
And why would you say,
I was just leading up to it.
You didn't say there was ice before.
I was leading up to it.
What? Oh my gosh.
Anyways, it wasn't, like, solid. It was broken up. Like, you could take
a
boat out.
You literally live in Michigan. It could literally be 40 degrees outside. The water is going to be around, like, 30, but, like, it's not frozen.
Right. But there could be, like, pieces of ice in it. Anyways, I guess Lori really hated the cold, okay?
Okay.
So that's why it was so weird to them. He says that since he disappeared, Lori has been acting strange. The first thing she told Larry's son was that they're going to start divvying up his things.
Like, hi, just
y'all
died.
Haven't even found his body yet. And you're like,
they
let's,
still haven't found the body
let's
at this
split
point.
Up all the goods. Yeah, they haven't even found his body yet.
And it's been, like, over a week?
8 days.
Wow.
Right. So, anyways, things just aren't adding up. They don't feel right to him. The kids are not buying anything that she said. Like, they're just not. Something's up.
Are you about to tell me that the body's, like, buried at the house or something?
No. So, police try to assure Larry's adult children that they don't really believe that there was any foul play from Lori at this time. Tripping.
Wow.
Lori was able to answer all the questions before even being prompted for an answer every time she was interviewed by police. Like, they didn't even have to ask her the questions, and she's like, da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
like,
she's probably been questioned a lot, though.
Willing to, yeah, of course, but she was very willing to just repeat herself. Going to talk to Lori again, the officer noted that in the wastebasket near the back of the house, there was a black latex glove with dry blood on it, paper towels with dry blood, and a Ziploc container with white residual powder in it.
Whoa, a little bit of cocaine.
In the wastebasket. No, not cocaine.
Oh.
So on the floor of one of the storage buildings on the property was also some dried red colored droplets on the concrete. Lori said it was her blood. Like, just was like, the blood on the paper towels and everything, it's all mine. But she's like, I don't know about the floor. And so, like, they did forensic test it. It was wood stain that had spilled.
Oh.
So, anyways. On February 27th, which was 15 days after Larry goes missing in the water, she was arrested on 40 counts of forgery and one count of grand theft. Her bail for $75,000 was met by her daughter the following day.
What?
So she was arrested. Like, she embezzled $500,000 from her company. They pressed charges.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So things continue to turn up for Lori, though. March 1st, 16 days after Larry vanished, a man's body was discovered on the shoreline of the lake he fell into. The body had not been there just 2 days prior when the police searched that area. They felt like it was definitely Larry nonetheless. And it was. Autopsy revealed that Larry's system was overdosed by a lethal amount of allergy medication.
Oh.
Which is a very rare overdose unless taken deliberately. It's fast acting and fatal when too much is taken in a short period. He likely died before he even hit the water.
That's what I was going to say. Like, she drove the boat out there.
She texted his daughter. She texted the friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was no sign in the autopsy that he had drowned because there was no water in his lungs, or had a stroke. Like, there was no sign or evidence of this. But they kept this little piece of information just quiet, close to the chest, and they did not release it to the family or the public right away. Lori conveniently told authorities that Larry had been sick recently and wasn't good at taking medication or forgetting and double dosing himself. Mind you, she doesn't know what the autopsy results are. So she just had said that, like, in one of her interviews.
Wow.
Just like, oh, by the way, like, he's been sick, and, like, he oftentimes doesn't remember if he's already taken his meds, so he'll take them again. Just, like, slip that little piece of nonchalant information in there. Nobody that had been around Larry recently confirms that he was actually sick at all, like, recently. So outside of the text that was sent out on the boat that morning to his friend about not feeling well, nobody had any idea that Larry was sick. Lori's son was interviewed because while she said his phone fell into the lake, it pinged near Lori's son's house just days after the lake incident occurred. So that's weird. Like, why do you have his phone? That's weird to me. So Lori's out on bail right now for her, you know, embezzlement charges and all of that. And she fails to show up to her first two court dates. On the forgery and grand theft charges. Even though she was out on bail, she was officially on the run. Police decide at that point in time to release the autopsy results, along with the announcement that it was undergoing a now full-fledged homicide investigation.
Wow.
His system was loaded with 7 times higher the largest daily dose suggestion.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, just loaded him up with the medication, right?
Yeah.
So his doctor even claimed that at the current time he was healthy and not sick, and they would have never recommended that medication to him based on his age. So, yeah, bunch of lies. So police suspected that Lori had laced the naked smoothie drink with a lethal cocktail and that Larry drank it. Remember that white powder?
Oh, that's weird.
Remember the white powder from earlier? And they're the really, Right. There really was no motive until investigators found that Lori would have become the benefactor of the estate, which would have more than covered the price of legal trouble that she was in at work. Like, wow. Dang. So Lori told a family member that she stole the money from her job to provide help for her kids. Like, basically just shifting all of the blame off of herself and onto her kids. After 2 months on the run, July of 2018, she turns herself in. Investigators wait for the case stemming from her previous employer to be finished before they dove into the murder investigation. Lori pled guilty six months later to 3 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of federal program theft and was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison.
That's it?
So she took a plea deal.
Oh, well, you didn't make it sound like she took a plea deal.
So basically because she had like 40 counts of forgery and grand theft and she was only charged with 3 counts of wire fraud and whatever.
Yeah.
She took a plea deal and she pleaded guilty. So following the sentencing, they interview Lori on her husband's death. Straight out the gate, she says, "I don't remember saying that I thought he had a stroke, but it was literally on the 911 call." Because, you know, that lie that she told, she forgot again.
Oh my God.
So anyways, so they ask her straight up, "Did you or did you not kill Larry?" She just stares at them blankly with like this non-emotion showing face. Like, it's just like the most plain face I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So another thing that was really weird is that she was just like a really soft-spoken woman. Like, you just wouldn't expect it, I guess. Searching her computer, they find search records of her searching the depth of that lake. And the more questions that they ask, she decides she wants to request a lawyer. The detective more or less tells Lori, like, "We really think you were involved here somewhere." And this is when she tears up and begins to show some emotion. But she stays silent for the most part. Not what you would picture for a murder suspect. In 2020, February of 2020, so 2 years after he died, she's charged with first-degree murder. And she entered an Alford plea a year later for second-degree murder. This means that she gets the punishment for second-degree murder, but she gets to maintain her innocence. This can be entered when a person is claiming innocence but knows that there's enough evidence for a jury to find them guilty. She still refuses through court to admit of any wrongdoing. According to Lori, she had planned to drink the cocktail herself and take her own life because she knew that sooner than later, Larry was going to find out about her charges at work. She fell asleep on the boat and Larry drank it by mistake. The judge didn't buy that for a second and sentenced Lori to 30 years in prison.
Wow.
And that is the case of Larry Eisenberg, who was murdered by his crazy wife.
Welcome to Judge Ashley. You were just like, and here's the verdict.
Yeah. I mean, let's get right down to it. She was already in prison anyways.
True.
So she'll be there. She'll be there hanging out.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like 60. 2018, she was 66. So she's like 71 now. 70.
Oh, she's 70 not making something. It out of there.
No, she'll be there forever.
Wow.
So, anyways, I guess now we can,
everybody's favorite part. Are we 31 and 13 then?
No, we are. We're at 28 minutes and 44 seconds.
We'll have to go back and edit it. Nope. Let them know when to come back.
Nope. And nope.
Okay. Well, I am changing it up this week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting that you were changing it up this week.
I can't wait.
Me neither. Also, this is kind of like true crimey.
Okay.
Okay, so I have to first start off and ask, because you brought up the Clintons before, like, we even started this. Oh my gosh. Were you joking or were you serious about Matthew Perry talking about the Clintons?
I mean, I see it on TikTok, so you can take it with however you want to take it.
Okay, well, I didn't find anything on that, so that's why I wanted to ask.
Oh my gosh.
So today's conspiracy theory is about Matthew Perry.
It's like very soon for that.
I know. Welcome to the conspiracy corner, because I'm just talking about old conspiracies all the time that everybody knows about. So let's come up with the new ones.
Uh-huh.
So check this out. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like a big avid watcher of Friends.
I've never watched a single episode.
Wow. I've seen a few episodes. I don't really care for it.
I don't get
it. But I know it's like huge. I mean, I like The Office and some people hate The Office. Like you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. It's just not my thing.
Definitely my thing. I could rewatch that and that would be like the last TV show I could ever watch and I'd be happy. Anyways, so Matthew Perry dies.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. So I came into this, like reading this, thinking that like he really ratted the Clintons out. Because that's what you told me.
I said I saw it on TikTok.
Right.
But you can make a mountain out of a molehill on TikTok. They do a lot of stretching before they reach, I'm pretty sure.
So let me just tell you that this gets extremely weird.
I don't even know if I would like to continue this.
So I read this whole article about his death and like what people are thinking, because they're not giving information out. Like, you remember when Jeffrey Epstein died and then like the results came out and they said he hung himself, but then the autopsy report showed that there was no self-harm?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
I didn't read that. Like I told you last time, I did not investigate the Epstein situation, and nor do I plan to.
Well, I guess you're missing out.
Yep. Just let me miss out.
So, when they did the autopsy report,
mm-hmm.
they failed to give a reason as to why he died.
Jeffrey Epstein?
No, Matthew Perry.
I heard that he drowned in his jacuzzi.
Yes, but the autopsy report came back and they refused to give a reason as to why he died.
Okay.
Then the toxicology report came back because he actually was like an addict, I guess.
I heard that he was a heavy drinker.
Okay, so I didn't know what he did. As well. I just said he was an addict. So we'll go with the drinking. That makes sense.
It says that his cause of death was listed as deferred.
Yeah, so people are like questioning it.
I guess I don't know what that means.
The toxicology report came back and they found nothing in his system.
Wait. So, did he have a heart attack?
No.
Says he was found unconscious in a standalone jacuzzi. What is
that? Why are you looking this up? This is my conspiracy.
I'm so sorry. I'm just curious. Yeah,
you are like being absolutely rude right now. I'm so Imagine sorry. If I sat here and I was like, oh, let me look up this case real quick.
I was looking to see if it had been updated. That's all.
It has not been updated. So this is where it gets weird, where I'm going to weigh in on the situation, because that's why I was really curious. So people in the post started talking about his Instagram post. What are you doing on your phone?
I'm looking at what you sent me.
No. Get okay. off your phone. Okay. So Matthew Perry wrote a book like on how he overcame, I'm assuming, the alcoholism.
Uh-huh.
And so
you about to talk about okay, go ahead.
He said in it, like, at the end, if you ever see me calling for help, I'll give you the Batman signal.
Yeah, and that was his last post on Insta.
No. No, this gets really weird.
Okay.
This is the stuff that I found. Like, I haven't even seen anybody saying anything about this. So, like, if you look at his Instagram post, so this one was posted December 15th, 2022.
Okay.
December 15th.
That was a year ago.
Yep. The very next post is April 17th.
Okay, so he's not an active 4 months, Instagram poster. Yeah,
he'd say that, right?
Yeah.
This one, October 11th. So it went from April all the way to October 11th.
Okay.
Very next post, a picture of him and his dad with drinks, posted on October 15th.
Okay.
So he's reminiscing. And in the background, there's a sign, and it says, "I forget what I forgot."
That must be like a friend saying.
It could be, which I don't know. It just seems like really strange, right? The very next post is him watching the movie Batman.
Okay.
In his room with the three screens, see why I was asking earlier. And he says, "No need to worry, everybody. I've got the streets tonight on October 17th.
Okay.
October 19th. He posts a picture of the bat symbol and says, "Sleep well, everybody. I've got the city tonight. Batman." Like a play on Batman.
No way. Three posts about Batman? Because I know the pumpkin one's on there.
October 21st, another one of Batman.
And he doesn't post at all on Instagram.
And this is 2 days later, and it says, "Batman plays pickleball. He died after playing pickleball."
Okay.
The very next one, he drops three berries. Only three.
I don't get it.
That's all the video is.
What's the significance of berries?
I'm going to come back to it.
Okay.
The very next one is his Halloween pumpkin on October 22nd. See how fast these are popping up?
When he didn't post for like months in between.
And on this caption of the pumpkin, it says, "Do you know what I mean?" Like he's literally crying for help. And there's people in the post. That's the craziest part, is there's people in the post like commenting before he died. About what, like, why did he do that? Or, no, not why did he do that. Like, "Hey, man, we're really worried about you. Like, something seems off here. Like, if you need to talk, please know that your fans love you." Like, all before he dies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, the next post, he looks up to the sky, and this is October 22nd. So, same day after the pumpkin. He's just looking up, looking for the Batman signal.
That's what he put?
No, the caption says, "Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I'm Batman."
Okay.
The very last post.
It's supposed to be so ominous.
Oh, it so is. He's sitting in a hot tub outside under the sky. I'm assuming this is the hot tub that he died in. And it says, "Oh, so warm, swirling around, makes you feel good. I'm Batman." That's his last post.
Is that, what day did he post that?
October 23rd. So I don't know what day he died, but before you go find that, let me tell you this, because here's the theory.
Okay.
So one of Batman's, like, hardest villains that he ever fights and actually breaks his back in one of the movies is Bane.
Okay.
And so there's these berries called Bane berries.
Okay.
And the Bane berries, if you've taken too many, can put you into cardiac arrest, but it doesn't show up on an autopsy.
He died on October 28th.
Yes. So the conspiracy theory is that, I guess mine is that he committed suicide. He was giving the signs telling people, "I'm going to die soon. I'm going to die soon."
You think he committed suicide?
Yes, and he took the berries, and the berries killed him in the hot tub, and that's why they can't find the death. But he shows the three berries, and that's all it is he's dropping three berries, and he's giving everybody clues. If he used Bane berries, it would make sense that he's calling himself Batman, because he's pretending to be Batman, and that Bane took him out.
Trippy.
Yeah.
Why?
He just probably wasn't happy. And Batman was a detective and he was leaving this.
So do you think that he was suffering from depression and that he was he was crying out for help?
Yeah, and it was really weird because I know nothing about this. Like, I just looked this up tonight.
Yeah, I don't either.
But there's an episode of Friends and he's going on in the episode about how he's going to be the first one to die.
Shut up.
Like, out of the group. Yeah.
You found that tonight?
No, not tonight. I found that, I think, like, earlier today. When I woke up, so I was like, that's really weird that he would say that on the show, but maybe it was just, you know, like a coincidence.
Did you just say coincidence?
I'm saying that aspect, it could be, I mean.
I don't believe in coincidences anymore.
That's true.
So, here's the real question. Do you think he's really dead?
Yeah. I would say this is an extensive amount of clues for somebody that I like to look for stuff like this, but nobody else is saying that, like, I mean, there's people saying that he went through depression, but nobody else has been calling it a suicide yet. That's my conspiracy theory. Because the way that the posts are laid out, like, yeah, that definitely looks like a suicide.
That's kind of sad, though, because in his book, he said that, like, that's what he would do if he needed help. And then, like, he literally cried out for help for almost a full month.
Yeah.
And nobody was like,
and he's just constantly posting on Instagram, and he never was.
And he, like, made sure to reminisce with his parents, and
yep.
That's so sad. That's not where I thought you were going with that.
And it was weird because the post, like, you said it was an alcohol thing, but it was, like, the caption said something like, and then enjoying a beverage with my dad or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. Wow, that's not... I didn't think you were going that way with it, but...
I know, it was like true crime conspiracy. Check that out.
No, but that does make sense if he was just, like, giving subliminal messages because he was, like, reaching out before he committed suicide.
Yeah. And like I said, there were people in the post...
Which is, like, really sad that nobody caught it. Because, like...
No, the people on Instagram were. They were literally saying, like, please contact us. Like, we're really worried about you. It's tons of comments, and it's all before he died.
And he did he respond to any of them?
No. Not that I could see.
I wonder who he was trying to reach then.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Might have been some demons in his personal life or something.
Yeah, I don't know. That's sad. Anyways, sorry for all you Friends fans.
Yeah.
For your loss.
I can't even imagine, because the day that I lose somebody in the office besides, like, Creed, I'm going to be really upset.
Which one is Creed?
Oh, Toby could probably go too. Nobody'd care about Toby. Creed's the old man that sits in the back. I think everybody expects him to go first. But,
dang.
Anybody would be, like, extremely sad if, like, Michael, who's played by Steve Carell, or...
I like Steve Carell as, like, an actor, though.
Yeah. Then you got Dwight, who's played by Rainn Wilson, and that would be sad.
He's been featured on, like, a lot of podcasts. Like, he was on Morbid.
Wow, maybe he'll be on this one.
Someday.
Beats, Battlestar. Oh my gosh, I messed it up. I'm embarrassed.
You should.
I'm done.
You want me to edit it out?
Kinda, actually, but I know you won't.
I'm not. I messed up reading, like, my own writing, like, 20 times.
It was 3 B's. Beats, Bears, and Battlestar Galactica.
Well, you redeemed yourself.
Thank you. I had to.
And who
if
said
he's
that?
Listening, he might come on. Huh?
Dwight?
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're still listening, thank you for listening. We hope you keep listening. We'd like to hear from you at partnersincrimethepodcast@gmail.com. And we'd like you to follow us on Instagram, where we're going to post photos of Larry and Lori, as well as some of the evidence photos that I found online. And we will post some photos of Matthew Perry.
Might as well throw Rainn Wilson in there too.
We'll probably just throw him in there just because Curtis is disrespectful to him. But
wow.
You messed it up, not me. And yeah, we'll post that up there tonight. We'll have your episode ready for you when you wake up on Friday morning. And we hope you keep listening.
I got something to say.
Go ahead.
You have that little button that you can do the little clappy sound? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Can you get ready to press that again?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I just want to say shout out to our 1,200 new listeners.
I know. We actually are, like, hitting records and over here. But also, like, really quick and fast, I'd like to plug the Podcast of Pain, because he shouts us out, like, every episode.
Every episode.
And we did a collab with him last night, and that was really fun. And we'd like to have him on our pod. So, Podcast of Pain, let us know, and we'll plug you in. You can get into some true crime reactions, and
I'm gonna throw in like a WWE conspiracy theory
reactions. I'd like to see his reactions like in the live. So maybe we'll do that for like a bonus episode 1 week or something. Let me know, Darius, or let me know.
It's Darius.
Whatever. Darius, please let me know how to say your name too. Like, I haven't worked with you for the last like 5 years, but let me know. We'll add him in. He's got the voice like Curtis for radio.
Does it sound like I'm on old time radio?
Okay. And on that note, we are signing out. So we will see you later.
Toodles.
See you later. Goodbye.
Bye.